Welcome to the Boldness on 3CR, 8:55 AM. And it's that time of the year we are talking all things Melbourne Fringe. And that's time for the Melbourne Fringe specials, special list of podcasts that are only available from the 3CR website, www.3cr.org.au/boldness. And the Boldness is about lived experience of disability. And my name is Raf, and we're talking with one of those people whose reputation does go before them, the one and only Jeremy Moses, who is starring in Jeremy Moses is Hard to Work With, and his reputation says so. Hello, you doing, Jeremy?
Hello, Raf. It's great to be back. Thank you so much for having me.
So good to have you back here, because I don't think you're hard to work with. I think you're impossible.
I think that's true. Some people would say that, for sure.
You're taking that in the spirit. It's all intended. And we're going to let listeners, Jeremy and myself, have known each other for a number of years. Jeremy is a very accomplished poet, performer. He's done a comedy as well. Our paths have crossed in real life. But in real life, Jeremy is one of the really nice guys that you actually meet in the community.
Thank you so much, Raf. I really appreciate that.
Let's talk about, is Jeremy Moses hard to work with? It's showing at Melbourne Fringe Festival. What has brought up a truly amazing title?
I had a bit of a conflict last year. I was doing a show collaborating with a co-star who won't go named. But we had a falling out, and she didn't speak to me ever again. And so I turned that sort of trauma, not really trauma, like it was fine, but you know, like I did have a few sleepless nights where I was like, did I do something wrong? What did I do? What did I say that was wrong? And I kind of just realized that it's happened a lot in my life. Like a lot of people have fallen out with me over the years when I've been trying to kind of engage them on projects, like creative projects. And the prevailing wisdom was that, like, it was me that was the problem. And so I thought I'd make a show about, you know, asking the audience whether that's true or not. It's like, let them spend an hour with me. I'll do some sketches. I'll sing a song. I'll have a puppet on stage. And I'll let people decide whether I am hard to work with or not. So the show is called Jeremy Moses Is Hard to Work With, a one-man show. And it's self-evident that I'm on my own this time. And it's fun. Like, I'm enjoying using, you know, last year's trauma to make something constructive and fun and silly.
So what you're actually saying, that you're taking some of these learning or challenging experiences that you've had from collaborating with a lot of other performers, tried to get a show together, decided that you're actually the problem, and you turn it into this show, Jeremy Moses Is Hard to Work With. There's nothing like a good resentment against other people to get up on stage and present your version of what happens.
Yeah, I've always worked the best in, like, out of spite, actually. Like, when I'm a little bit bitter, I tend to do my most, like, fun work, or it motivates me to lash out a little bit. But all in good fun. Like, I don't name names. I don't have too much of a go at the team that I had last year. I loved the show last year. It was really fun. You were nice enough to come to the show and support us. And it was a good show. Like, I had a lot of fun. I wrote most of it. But it's a shame that we can't continue it, because I think it could have gone worldwide. Like, it was a great show. I feel like this year's show might be better, actually. Like, I'm excited to do something and improve on it and build on it and do something, you know, flex a new muscle and do something a bit different. And yeah, it is self-reflection. It is looking at inward to see whether I am the problem. I'm not certain I am the problem, but if I am, at least I'll know, you know what I mean? Like, I'll ask the audience, they can tell me whether I'm hard to work with or not.
Well, Jeremy, it'll be great. Believe me, you are the problem. And that's what it comes down to, is Jeremy Moses is hard to work with. It's about inward reflection. Now you're getting external validation from the audience. It sounds like you would prefer to say, yes, the audience says I am very easy to work with, and I would like some validation that I'm very easy to work with. But hey, if you'd get that rid of the hard bit in the actual title.
Yeah, exactly. The title is meant to kind of make people think about it. And I probably shouldn't have posed it as a question, like, is Jeremy Moses hard to work with? But I thought, like, it being emphatic about it, like, calling it out, I am hard to work with. I think everyone is, actually. I think all creatives are a bit difficult to work with. And it's the constant, you know, issue that creative people have, is the challenge of creative friction, of you know, a lot of comedy duos throughout history have fallen out with each other, split up for good, and reconciled because they ran out of money and they were like, wanted to do one last show to pay off their taxes or whatever. So it happens. Like, it's universal. And I feel like at the Melbourne Fringe, a lot of artists will relate to it. And because this all happened last year's Melbourne Fringe, it's the right place to do this show. And I'm in the Trades Hall, which is, where I was last year, only like upstairs, in the Evett room. And I'm excited to show people what I can do solo. It's my first time performing solo at the Trades Hall, which is an amazing opportunity, and Fringe have been really nice to me. Yeah. So I'm on October 8th to the 12th. I'm doing six shows. It'll be really good fun.
Look, we're going to get to all of that a little bit later on. That's where Jeremy Moses is hard to work with, jumping the gun, stealing the thunder, and not answering the questions in the order they're supposed to be through. But Jeremy is a lot of fun to actually be around at all times. Anyway, now, Jeremy, well, let's set the scene for us, and I'll paint out on how this really should look like. The show, Jeremy Moses is hard to work with, is showing at Melbourne's Trades Hall. How accessible is it?
It's completely accessible. The Trades Hall is a great venue for wheelchairs. Wheelchairs are accessible. We've got a sensory-friendly matinee on the Saturday at 3:45, which is great. All the sessions are audio-described. In my past shows, and you've seen it, I've used audio descriptions as a bit of a joke. Like the audio describer, insults me and we have a back and forth. This year I'm actually legitimately making my show audio described, so blind audiences can come and feel comfortable. And we're also having tactile tours before every show. So if audiences require that, they can request it, and we'll meet up 10 minutes before the show and let them touch my costumes, and I'll tell them what they're in for. Accessibility is very, very important. And I myself am visually impaired, legally blind. So I feel like it's the right sort of thing to do and to move creative content forward.
With future shows, how about a title something like, how does trusting blind faith sound to you? Or something like that.
That's not bad. Yeah, I've got a few titles like kicking around for new shows after that, puns on my disability. It's great to use it as material. I think like the more comedians and performers who use their disability in a positive light, show their disability in a positive light, the more representation there is, the better it is, and the more we move forward as a culture. So I'm glad to be part of it. And there are some amazing disabled performers this year at the Fringe, and I'm glad to be one of them. Yeah.
You certainly are. It's also one of the things from having gone to Jeremy's shows previously that Jeremy comes across as being vulnerable on stage, letting people into their life and taking them on a journey. Well, hey, this is my life, my experiences. I'd like to share them with you. Like, I'd like, can you please repeat that great little story about what's it like to get on stage if you're visually impaired and they use milk crates to help you up?
Yeah, it's happened a lot actually throughout my career. I've been doing comedy since 2023. So not that long actually, but in my initial sort of nerves, getting up on stage was more nerve wracking than it is now. And I'd have to like talk to the MC before the show and be like, hey, can you please like squeeze my hand extra tight when you're getting me on stage, just so that I don't trip over or anything. And usually it's worked. Usually I haven't fallen over. Although I do fall over a lot, actually. But one gig, I got up on the stage and there were milk crates and it was raining and I was wearing heavy shoes and I had a stick, but the stick wouldn't go in the milk like on the milk crate because the milk crate had, you know, holes. So I couldn't use my stick. So I got up with the guy shaking my hand. I did my set. It was great. I got a little laughs. It was very, a good feeling. Everyone was happy. And then on my way off the stage, my shoes pushed the milk crate over and I fell on my backside and everyone was like, oh God, what happened? And I'm like, I'm fine. Don't worry about it. I'm fine. And I got up and, you know, it was a little embarrassing, but, it's all part of it. And I like being real on stage and I like being genuine. And if I fall over, I fall over. Like, it's fine. Some stages are a lot higher than others, so it's tricky. But usually I get through without falling over. Touch wood.
Well, is it, Jeremy, is that this is a future work cover claim for you? What do you reckon? Think you can do a show about that? What happens when it gets knocked back? It was premeditated.
Yeah, I reckon someone could set me up for a fall. Definitely. I actually fell over like 2 days ago. I don't know if you can see, I've got a graze on my hand, a brick wall, like a small raised garden bed that they hadn't demolished properly, like around the corner from my house. And so I was carrying these heavy groceries and it almost felt like someone was flipping me over, like my shoe like snagged the brick and I fell like forward. I grazed my arm. I grazed my hand and, you know, like it happens. And I probably should note these down as like compensation claims because it is like one day I'll fall and God forbid I won't get back up. But for the time being, I'm all right. I'm fine. It's just a few grazes.
Yeah. But like even with the accessibility part of it, in previous shows, the visual descriptions that come through, to me it sounds like the voice of God is commanding people. Jeremy Moses is wearing a mustard T-shirt with a mustard-coloured cap, and he's got a goatee. Sort of looks like Satan.
I should hire you to do my audio descriptions. That's pretty apt. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, like it's fun. Like the AI, like I use AI to generate those voices. And so it's kind of like a narrator or an inner monologue or like a disembodied voice. It's a fun mechanism to tell the audience something, but also to be a bit cheeky. I enjoy it. I've used it in both my shows so far, and this is my third sort of show, different show, like iteration, and I'm doing it again, but I'm actually doing it properly this time. So audiences, like, they won't miss any, like, blind audiences won't miss any cues. The show is very visual, but I'm like throughout the show, I've integrated these audio descriptions, so the audience will get to know exactly what's happening, and I'll embellish a bit as well. I'll tell the audience that it's like blind audiences that it's more grand than it is, and I'll get them in on the joke. They'll know what I'm doing. Yeah,
it's a poetic license.
Yeah, it's a fun tool. I enjoy it. Yeah.
And what are your thoughts on people collaborating using AI, artificial intelligence?
Yeah, I think it can be a fun tool. Like, I've been enjoying, I've been making these silly songs to play before my show starts. So before the show starts, there'll be an 80s song that sounds legitimate, but, you know, it calls me an asshole at the same time. I think AI is funny when it's used as a comedic tool. It's scary when it's used, you know, people pretending that it's their work when it's not, or ripping off other people's material. You know, I think as a comedic tool, it's great. I'm having a lot of fun with it. I would never use it to write my shows, though. I think that's a bridge too far, definitely. But, you know, for promotion, like, it's fun to use AI as a joke and make people think, like, oh, is this real? Is he real, or is he making a joke? I did some AI ads where I would increasingly add things to my, you know, my facial hair, like I had a Coolio haircut and, like, you know, a baby voice going like, hi, come to my show. And, like, it irritates people, but it's also kind of, it shines a light on where our world is going, I think. I'm not against AI. I would never use it in my shows, like, as a creative tool, because I think, like, that ruins creativity. But for promotion, I think it's fine to kind of push the boundaries and have fun with it.
Yep, I noticed you went almost pushed the boundaries there, where you almost dropped a magic word on radio, which I would have to edit.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, okay, feel free to cut it.
That's actually part of the journey there. But it would sound very, very impressive, Jeremy, if you said that you collaborated with Google using AI. I don't think you've actually libeled anyone with it, but AI, how do you get it? Well, it's through using the internet.
I think so, yeah. Last year we used it, we did an AI music video where we filmed the music video with me singing, and the song was about how much I loved my co-star, and the video we filmed was, you know, her yawning while pushing me on a swing, or, like, making me fall over, you know, and the song was about her being deaf and me being blind, and No singer will make a song like that, but an AI will. And so you can train the AI to make a silly song about, you know, your disabilities. And if you have a component of human element, like, we filmed it ourselves, we bought the costumes ourselves. If it comes from a creative place and you just use the AI as a tool, like, I'm fine with it. But yeah, I definitely don't want to use it to write my material. I think that's a horrible idea.
Jeremy, just to quickly wind up the interview, Jeremy Moses is hard to work with. Jeremy, what is the most compelling reason that people should come to see Jeremy Moses is hard to work with?
I think it's if people want to have a good time and see a disabled performer doing a show not about his disability, but about creative disputes and the artistic challenges of creating art with others, they would love my show, I would hope. It's very fun. It's very silly. I have a puppet. I wear, like, a cardboard boat and a fisherman's outfit. And I do monologues and I sing songs. It's very fun. It's very silly. It's accessible, which is great, and inclusive. And I'd love everyone to come along. Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun.
Now, Jeremy, what are your show details? What day does it open and where?
So I'm on from the 8th to the 12th of October. Wednesday to Sunday. So the Wednesday to Saturday, I'm on at 6 p.m. The Saturday matinee, I'm on at 3:45 p.m. And that is a relaxed and low sensory matinee. And we've got an access pack PDF on my website for people to come and know what they're getting into. So that's the Saturday matinee. And then the Sunday, we're on at 5 p.m. And we're at the Trades Hall in Carlton, Festival Hub Trades Hall, where most of the shows are taking place. Come see some shows. There's some great shows this year, me included, hopefully. I'm on at the Trades Hall, and it's accessible, and please come.
And, Jeremy, finally, how do people get tickets?
Yeah, so they call 03-9660-9666 and say my name, Jeremy Moses, and they'll hook you up with tickets, or melbournefringe.com.au.
Thank you very much for your time. The Boldness has been talking with Jeremy Moses, star of Jeremy Moses is Hard to Work With. Keep listening to 3CR 855. I am. Thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, that was great, Raph. Thank you so much.